You're listening to Life in Deep Ellum's podcast.
Hey, friends. Quick question for you to start. Are you exhausted yet by the clashing of various truths and perspectives in the media, in your families, in your friend circles? It seems like right now everyone has a very distinct perspective. Everyone is communicating something these days, even if they are being perfectly silent. Can I be honest for a moment? Thank you. I'm going to be honest. There are a number of people I've unfriended on social media these last few weeks. Their posts haven't, well, maybe they have been the impetus, but the reason is we weren't really friends to begin with. I didn't actually know these people, so I didn't want to feel the level of anger that I was feeling and frustration I was feeling as I read posts from people I have zero relationship with. So the story I'm telling myself is it's not that I couldn't tolerate their perspective. Rather, since I have no relationship with them in real life, I'm creating a healthy boundary for myself. And I hope maybe you have been doing a little bit of the same. Now, some people might argue, Rachel, you're curating an echo chamber for yourself. No, I'm not. I'm not unfriending everyone who doesn't see things as I do. Just the folks I have zero relationship with. As I considered this, I keep coming back to how Jesus interacted with people. And Jesus's approach to ministry is fascinating. He used parables that intentionally obscured his meaning and forced people to come closer in order to find the truth he offered. His invitation to discipleship was, come, follow me. He often taught in contrast to the accepted teaching of his day. A common refrain you would hear Jesus teach with is, you have heard it said, but I say to you. Jesus enacted what it meant for the kingdom of heaven to come by doing things like touching the leper, healing on the Sabbath, not condemning those caught in sin. Jesus mystified many people in his day. He taught with authority and pissed the authorities off in equal measure. I mean, just read through the Gospels and count the number of times that people planned or attempted to kill Jesus before they actually got around to it. Jesus was a controversial figure. And he said of himself, I am the way, the truth, and the life. My takeaway from that is the truth is a person. The truth is relational. And if I know anything about people and relationships, it's this. They are complex. When people speak about the simple truths of our faith, I chuckle a little bit to myself and wonder, which are those? God loves us? Yes, absolutely. And how do we understand divine love? How does it differ from human conceptions of love? Okay, so maybe a simple truth is God wants us to love others. Yes. Absolutely. And what does it mean to love others well? How about this simple truth? Sin is always wrong. For sure. But whose categorization of sin are we going by? Take a deep breath with me if you're feeling a little tired at the complexity. When we think about our faith for real, people talk a lot about objective truth. I wish we spent more time meditating on complex truth. Objective truth often tries to divorce truth from relationships. not my favorite way to get at the truth. Complex truth, on the other hand, is worked out in the context of relationship. Jesus is the way, the truth, the life. Truth is inherently personal and relational. In my experience, when we relate to God and others, when we're in relationship with God and others, the complexity of truth somehow has a way of showing us the path forward. When objective truth, a search for objective truth, is our starting point instead of relationship, we tend to drop into a relational void. And truth becomes something that distances us from others. Rather than being an echo of Jesus's "come, follow me." When it comes to truth, I'm always going to choose relationships over propositions. The Apostle John asks a question that I love. He writes, "If you cannot love your brother or sister who you can see, how can you love a God you cannot see?" Love calls us to be with. Our faith is a faith that must be lived in relationship to have meaning. Our faith is a faith that must be lived in relationship to have meaning. In Matthew 25, Jesus tells a parable. It's the parable of the sheep and the goats. And he says this: "The king will say to those on his right, 'Come, you who are blessed by my Father, take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me in. I needed clothes, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you looked after me. I was in prison, and you came to visit me.' Then the righteous will answer him, 'Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink? When did we see you a stranger and invite you in, or needing clothes and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison and go visit you?' The king will reply, 'Truly I tell you, whatever you did for the least of these, my brothers and sisters of mine, you did for me.'" Jesus goes on to say that there is another group who did not enact their faith in relationship to the least of these. And those are the ones Jesus calls cursed. Our faith is a relationship to be lived, a relationship to be lived among the least of these. So today in prayer, I want you to sit with a few questions. What's the truth of my relationships? Who are the least of these? Who are Jesus's brothers and sisters to me? And how am I being invited to stand in solidarity with those Jesus loves? Our prayer today is an active seeking. It is a prayer of consideration. Looking to Jesus, inviting and asking for insight from the Spirit, trusting the infinite God knows exactly what we need in this moment to be the people he's inviting us to be. So today, your posture, you may choose to take a very active one. You may choose to go for a walk as you pray through these things. Maybe for you, you receive better in a passive posture. And so you may choose that. What I suggest today is whatever helps you lean in and truly consider the invitations that God's Spirit offers. So go ahead and choose how you want to engage. And when you're ready, we'll begin. So go ahead, take a nice deep breath in to begin. And exhale. Take another cleansing breath in. And exhale. I want you to take a few moments to center yourself in God's loving presence, relating to the infinite God as both Father and Mother. If you're outside, allow the wonder of creation to draw you closer to God. If you're inside, allow the sacredness of your own body, that magnificent creation, to draw you near to the Lord. If a little one or a pet chooses to join you today, imagine that as God rushing toward you, so full of love that he had to send a physical presence to be near to you. As we begin our prayer, to the degree that you're able, find God's love in this moment, in all the ways that it is rushing toward you now, and receive it, let it nourish you, and may it give you strength for the days ahead. We turn ourselves towards this prayer of consideration. I'll speak the words of Jesus over you. Come, you who are blessed by my Father. Take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me in. I needed clothes, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you looked after me. I was in prison, and you came to visit me. Then the righteous will answer him, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink? When did we see you a stranger and invite you in, or needing clothes and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison and go visit you? The king will reply, truly I tell you, whatever you did for the least of these, my brothers and sisters of mine, you did for me. Whatever you did for the least of these, brothers and sisters of mine, you did for me. I call you now to consider this question. Who are the least of these in my day? Who are Jesus's brothers and sisters to me? Allow that question to settle in your heart. Who are the least of these? Who are Jesus's brothers and sisters to me? perhaps faces will come to mind. Maybe specific names or groups. Whatever comes, let it come. And in these next 5 minutes, what I encourage you to pray with, to bring to the Lord, is this question: how am I to stand in solidarity with those Jesus loves? How am I to stand in solidarity with Jesus, represented by the least of these? As you're ready, take in a nice deep breath and exhale. Knowing that you carry this truth, this relational insight forward with you into this day, into this week, the Lord has given you an invitation. A holy invitation to be with others as He would be with them. Friends, that's how we come to know and love God, is by knowing and loving others well. So be encouraged. Jesus is guiding us all. He's bringing us into deeper relationship with one another. He's bringing the kingdom of heaven to earth through us. And what a joy it is to be a part. Our great God does all things well, and you are part of that. So friends, I love you. I trust that you are loving one another well. Thank you for praying with me today, and I look forward to us being together again soon.